If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Luke chapter 1 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 26. Luke 1 and 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what you have written and what you would say to us today. Again, our prayer is that we not miss the significance in this familiarity. There can be little said this morning that we haven't already heard, don't already know. But may we be blessed and encouraged in the truthfulness of it. May we handle your word accurately, communicate it clearly, so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When Luke started this gospel, in his introduction in the first four verses of chapter 1, he says that this gospel will be built upon the testimony of eyewitnesses and servants of the Lord word. For his part, he says he investigated carefully. And then in verse 4, he says, "So that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught." He writes that. He addresses this gospel and its sequel, the book of Acts, to a man he calls the most excellent Theophilus. Most excellent, fancy term, but not just a formality. It was a term used almost exclusively for royalty or for people in power. Paul said that the gospel had penetrated the very house of Caesar. Is it possible that at least one of those inroads was a fellow by the name of Theophilus? Maybe. But more importantly to you and me today, this gospel, this version of the good news, is based upon eyewitnesses, investigated carefully, so that you and I may know the exact truth. We begin with Mary. An angel shows up. He visits a woman by the name of Mary. And twice in this salutation, in his introduction, he refers to her as a virgin. Now, we know in English exactly what that word means. And we read it and we see it and we say, yes, Mary is a young woman who has kept herself pure. And because of that, God has chosen to use her. But when we peel back our English, the word's not that simple. The word literally means young woman. So here is a young woman an angel has come to speak to. A young woman that he is addressing. Twice he uses that phrase. Have we got it wrong? Stay tuned. Mary hears his announcement. Greetings, favored one. And she's perplexed. Here's a young woman. Maybe it's in her immaturity. How would you handle an angel coming to visit you in your early teens? I think I would have been more than perplexed. But that's what Luke says. She's not suddenly impressed with herself. She's not about to listen because God has some special word for her and not terribly surprised by that. No. What is this all about? She's referred to by God as a favored one. Again, an early teen. Anybody who tells you they know how old Mary was is mistaken, because we don't know. We can look at tradition and guess, but possibly a young teenager. That wouldn't have been unusual. But to be favored by God. And then he tells her in no uncertain terms, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Jesus. Now, we will probably have this discussion later around our dinner table. Names for expected ones. And some choices might be suggested. It's happened more than once. But Jesus, is there significance in that name? Absolutely. There were many. Many would have named their sons, especially a firstborn son, Jesus. It's the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament Joshua, a deliverer. You get a boy, and he's strong. And you give him a strong name, like Oliver. And he becomes a runner. Joshua, a strong leader, a deliverer, a follower of God. Jesus, could you have more hope, more desire for that son? Who is this Jesus? Well, verses 32 and 33 say, he will be great. He will be Son of the Most High. Again, a technical term. He will be God. Not a Son of God. He will be the Son of God. God himself, and he will sit on the throne of David. He will be human. Oh, it's just hinted at here, but it's there. This child, Jesus, that Mary will bear, will be both God and man. And then this promise, his kingdom will have no end. He is God. He is man. He is the Christ, the Messiah. That's why regularly in the Gospels, he's referred to as the Lord Jesus Christ. God, man, deliverer, Messiah, redeemer, the Christ. All here in this announcement from the angel. Right? Even before his conception, his mother knows who this baby will be. And fortunately for us, she asks a question. How? How can this be? Verse 34. How can this be since I am a virgin? Well, that cleared things up. There's that word again. Unless we peel back the English a little bit or pick up a King James version of the Bible. Because when they translated the word, they didn't use the word virgin because it's not the same word. It's not the same word. She says here, not how can this be because I'm just a little girl or I'm a young woman. She says, how can this be since I have not known a man? She couldn't have said it any clearer. There's no confusion about who Mary is. Or the lineage of the child that she will bear. But the angel, being the perfect messenger of God, answers her question. And he uses the most beautiful language. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. This is going to be the work of God. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. He's going to be involved in this process. And the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Not a Son of God, the Son of God. Because Mary, while it is true, you are a young woman. More importantly and to the point, you have not known a man. And this child that you're about to have will not be the result of you knowing a man. It will be the result of you being favored by God and uniquely used to produce the God-man. And while I don't know, Luke doesn't say, there was nobody there, as far as we know, to see. Were her eyes getting big? Was she smiling? Was she afraid? What was the response? Was it, really? I don't know. But again, the angel, being a perfect messenger, had a great response. Elizabeth, behold, even your relative Elizabeth, verse 36, has also conceived a child in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. Infertility is a very difficult and heart-wrenching challenge for some. Not for all, but for some in our culture. But in Mary's culture, in Elizabeth's culture, it was almost always connected to the blessing of God. The ultimate blessing of God upon the woman, it was understood, it's nowhere in Scripture, but in their culture it was understood that the ultimate blessing of God upon a woman was to bear a child. Just as in our day, it didn't always happen in Mary's day, in Elizabeth's day. Oh, but the gossip, the talk could be cruel and ugly. And always based, like the friends of Job, always based on something you've done. God's not blessing you. It's not the first time God's chosen a wonderful woman and saved her to her advanced age, like Sarah, to give a son of promise. So here, Elizabeth, after years of pain and disappointment and sorrow, your cousin is going to have a baby. The one who was barren, the one who everybody knew couldn't have a child, is going to have a baby. A baby in her old age. The one who is known to be barren is now in her sixth month. Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. If that was true with Elizabeth, you can be sure it is also true for you. When God promised Elizabeth a child, she conceived a child. Long after women normally did. God has said, you will conceive a child without benefit of a human father. The God who can do one can do the other. Because nothing will be impossible with God. And then look at this response from Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. She refers to herself as a bond slave. That was one of the Apostle Paul's favorite ways to refer to himself. I love to think of myself as a bond servant, a bond slave, someone under the control of, used by, at the exclusive use of God Himself. And she, as a young woman, realizes that's who she is, a bond slave. And she's thankful. May it be done to me according to your word. You've said it because God said it. I believe it. May it be done. And as I was reading that earlier this week or late last week, I thought that sounds awfully familiar. To me, it sort of sounds like this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Remember, in our New Testament, the English word hope, we can just as easily replace it with anticipation or anticipated. So, now faith is the assurance of things anticipated. For the conviction of things not seen. Okay? And then verse 2 says, for by it men, I'm going to stretch it a little bit, men and women gained approval. Mary is a woman of faith. She hears this wonderful announcement. She's perplexed. But she says, I'm yours. And from that day on, she knew what God's plan was for her life. And through that, through her faith, and her obedience, she gained the approval of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly. Thank you for Mary. Thank you for the truth that she kept herself pure, a vessel that you could use for this great assignment. That at every stage, at every point, you brought together all that was necessary so that that baby laying in that manger would be truly the Lord, God Himself, Jesus, Mary's boy, Christ, the Redeemer, the Messiah, our Savior. We thank you. We pray in His name. Amen.